So today we're here with David from TechStars. David, can you, firstly, before we talk about TechStars, tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Where do you want me to start?
Well, I mean, start as far back as where were you born?
So I grew up outside of New York in Westchester, a town called Scarsdale. I was born in the city and lived out there for 18 years. I went to the University of Pennsylvania and got an American History degree. I immediately ran to law school and graduated law school, passed the bar exam, and quickly retired from the law as fast as possible. I think I lasted about 10 minutes. And then I ended up working for a big public real estate company called Vornado, where I was there for about a year before I left to go do an internet startup back in 2006 in the group buying space. And that was with two friends, both from college, and we got about 6 months deep when I realized that they were the wrong partners and I had no idea what I was doing. So I packed it up and joined a company called KGB, like the Russian terrorist organization. And I was at KGB, which is really a global information services company. So they're about a 10,000-person company. I reported directly to the CEO and ran the internet division at the company, starting a couple new businesses and helping out with some M&A. I left there in about 2009. I built a startup at KGB called No More, K-N-O-W. We spun it out, got to about 20 people. The CEO at a big company is never a big believer in startup internet companies, so it's a tricky battle of corporate politics. Left there in about 2009, started doing a lot more angel investing. I met David Cohen about 8 months later after having done a significant amount of research on TechStars. I just met him at a conference, asked him why he wasn't in New York, and I joined the company about a month later. That's what I got.
So I guess with a history background, like there's a, I've forgotten his name, Mike in, is it, the guy that, like the super investor from Sequoia. Mike Moritz, yeah. So he's got a history degree as well, right?
I look at my academic background, and I think it gives me a pretty broad ability to think about stuff. And so whether it's history and thinking about how the past influences the future, or if it's law, which, you know, probably creates a mindset for problem solving, you know, that's pretty unique. And I think that both of those backgrounds help to probably do my job in a different perspective than, you know, other people with a different background.
Like, you have nothing relevant, and that's what makes it relevant, right? I mean, that's where some of the big ideas come from.
But I think you know, law school's more a mentality of how you approach challenges, problems, and think through difficult situations. And I think history, you know, teaches you how to analyze a set of facts and, you know, really think about what they mean in a broader scope of the word. And so before college, I was a computer hacker when I was a kid. I did some bad stuff on America Online for a bit.
No, I mean, that's interesting. I find it fascinating that one of the preeminent investors of our generation has a history degree. I mean,
was a former tech writer.
I think before that, that's what he did. But anyway, and you worked at a like, effectively group buying. So it was a Groupon type company in 2006. So you were actually ahead of Groupon.
The idea was to enable all the doorman buildings in New York City to buy stuff together. So whether it was groceries, dry cleaning, dog walking, or, you know, house supplies, the concept was to just get all these people who live in the same building and buy from the same places to do it together for cheaper. So definitely did not figure out the scalable model there, but you know, I think we were onto something.
That's somehow how it works, though. Like you get close and someone else picks it up. But anyway. Can you tell us a little bit about TechStars then? So, I mean, I was just searching for TechStars online, and I noticed that Google has indexed techstars.org, and the domain is now changed to techstars.com.
That happened about 8 hours ago. So we, as of about 8 hours ago, we launched techstars.com, which we haven't ever had before. So I can I can switch my email address over. Yeah, so TechStars is a seed stage accelerator program, which is a lot of buzzwords. What does that really mean? We're sort of a boot camp for startups. We take applications like a college would. In New York, for this current program we're running, we had 1,200 applications. We took 12 of those companies into the program. We give each of the companies a small amount of money in return for a small slice of equity, and we work with the company in our offices for about 3.5 months, surrounding them with mentorship from the community. And so in each of our cities, we're in 4 cities now, Boulder, Colorado, Seattle, Washington, Boston, Massachusetts, and New York. In each of our cities, the program's supported by the local community. And so we raise money from the local community, and the local mentors are the mentors in each city are locally based. And so in New York, we have 120 New York-based mentors, people like Fred Wilson, Dennis Crowley, Chris Dixon, the CFO of Sony, et cetera, who will come in and meet with our companies throughout the program, trying to help them get better before demo day. Demo day is at the end of the program where the companies get on stage in front of upwards of 5 investors and present what they've done for the past 3 months.
And how's that been working out? I mean, I looked a little bit on your side and saw that you talk about some of the results.
Yeah, we funded about 90 companies over the past couple of years. 85% of those go on to raise venture capital funding, and 8 out of the first 20 have been acquired.
I guess because the difficulty is we are in a mildly frothy environment at the moment, and I mean I've been through this before in the Valley and seen a lot of bad stuff come out, but it's seeming like the model that you guys have, it's seeming to me like it makes real sense. And there's going to be real value coming out of it. And I guess I didn't see any major results yet, but I kind of have a feeling that you guys are going to find some things. I mean, is that what you're seeing? Are you seeing some in the current rounds of companies that haven't gotten a lot of attention yet that there really could be something there?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, number one is our model is built to work in both an up and down market. And I think that that's really important is that we are, you know, fully aware that today might be frothier than tomorrow, and so the model that we run really is focused on longevity. I think we're, you know, you probably see a lot more talented people applying to these types of programs in a down market than in today's market where, you know, VC money is incredibly accessible. So that's A, and B, you know, I think both in New York, in Boulder, Boston, and Seattle, there are some gems that are, you know, a year, 6 months, you know, 2 years deep in their trajectory and, you know, have a tremendous amount of potential. And so I think you will see, you know, some breakout companies definitely come out of these programs in the next year or two that do become bigger names than they are today.
I mean, Y Combinator seems to be the pioneering company in this sort of space, and some of the, I mean, I didn't think I was going to take them that seriously, but now, I mean, we're seeing some pretty big valuations for Dropbox. Airbnb seems like it's really going somewhere, and they've got a couple of others that looking like they're gonna do extremely well, which is kind of astounding.
Yeah, you know, I think there are great companies that have come out of there. I think they run an incredibly cool program. I think, you know, the main difference is, I don't know if that's the question you asked, but, you know, is our focus on mentorship and our focus on bringing people from the community in to work with the startups rather than just being a, you know, more isolated approach.
Oh, can you go into that and explain a little bit more about how that works?
Yeah, so in New York we have about 120 mentors. As I said, the ask from each of them is to come once during the first couple weeks of the program, meet between 4 and 10 of the companies, and with the goal of picking one that they like. And the companies meet upwards of 50 to 60 mentors during that first month, and their goal is to pick the ones that they like. And at the end of that process, which we call mentor dating, each company has between 5 and 10 lead mentors that they work with throughout the rest of the program. And so, You know, the goal is really to have deep engagement from people who've been there and done that before, from people who, for, you know, no reason monetarily, but just want to work with early stage companies and help them because they were probably helped getting to where they got to. And so it's an incredibly powerful model. We've seen, you know, successful entrepreneurs work with first time, second time entrepreneurs and really help transform their businesses in ways that you couldn't do on your own. And it would take years to get, you know, the amount of meetings and network that, you know, you end up building within a 3-month period.
So why do the mentors come in and do that? I mean, what are they investing in Techstars, or are they getting a financial return when there's a match? Like, what is their return out of it?
Yeah, so, you know, I think each mentor is totally different. And that's first up. We have some mentors who are investors who are, you know, getting to spend time with the deal before they conceivably do it. We have other successful entrepreneurs who would love to work with early stage companies but don't have a filtering mechanism of their own. And so what we do is if we narrow 1,200 down to 12, and then we ask them to narrow 12 down to 1, we've done all that legwork to make sure that they're spending relevant time with a relevant company that will ideally be there in a year and with quality entrepreneurs. And so we're offloading that upfront work, or they're offloading that upfront work to us. And, you know, I think the mentor-to-mentor connection that they're able to build by being around our program, I think, you know, over time, maybe it's an acquisition, maybe it's, you know, a hire. We've had some mentors join companies to be CEO or, you know, COO. And so each mentor comes to the program, I think, for different reasons. I think they get very different stuff out of it. Alex Reinert, who's the head of product at Foursquare, you know, he worked with one of our companies in the last program and said that his ability to step outside of Foursquare really allowed him to do better work at Foursquare and gave him a clear head into think about problems in a different way. And so I really think that each mentor finds a totally different value out of the process.
Hmm. But no, so there's no direct economic value.
Excuse me?
There's no direct economic value. The value is the filtering. It's the understanding. It's the business access. It's the potential business opportunity. It's that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's the network. I think more than anything in the community is that this is an incredibly tight community. It really four cities around the country. You know, we have over 250 mentors in our system and have over, you know, 3,000 entrepreneurs that are applying to this program a year. There's incredible access, and it's access to each other that I think everybody is excited about.
How does the national network work? I mean, compared to like the local network? Like, is a startup here in New York, is that going to have, how is that going to get access to us, like what's happening in Boulder?
Yeah, so the way we do that is there's not necessarily a direct or a structured relationship, but if we have a company in our New York program and there's a mentor in the Boulder program that's a direct fit for our company, we'll just reach out and then try to bring that mentor in. There's no, you know, guarantee, but we had a company in our last program who was working in the real estate industry, and in Seattle, one of the mentors is the CEO of Zillow. And so we reached out there, and they were on the phone about a day later. And for that company in New York, having that mentor in Seattle was a home run.
And so what is the typical, like, mentoring? What actually happens? Are they meeting with the startups, like, weekly? Are they meeting with them monthly? Like, what actual support is in place?
Totally different, each mentor. And so some mentors will schedule a weekly visit to the office, pretty structured. Others will do a Skype call or a phone call or ask the company to come up to their office. Once you set up that one-on-one match, it's up to you how you engage. There are other mentors that will, you know, make three incredibly key introductions and not spend a ton of, time directly with the company. And it's really about utilizing your mentor for what they're able to bring, you know, the best and really accessing their best, value. And so, you know, product-oriented mentors will dive deep with companies on product, whereas a, you know, business development focused mentor will make some introductions and walk through the, you know, business development process for this company and help them figure out how to pitch their company to brands or to customers. And so it really is about, you know, building relationships is what we say, and building long-term relationships so that it's not just, you know, an engagement for 3.5 months. We had an alumni panel at the office last night, and we had 5 alumni who were back. And I asked them each, how many of your Techstars mentors do you still talk to? And this is 6 months, a year and a half away from their program. You know, one of the guys said 11, another guy said 6, another one was 4, and another one was 6. And so, you know, a year and a half later, to still be having regular communication with these guys, it means you've done a really successful job in building that long-term relationship, which is what we really do coach the companies to do and focus on.
And what level of communication was regular? Was it a phone call once a month? Were they just some email chats, or were they like going and meeting them face to face?
Across the board. And so I think, you know, some people are much better on email than I am phone, and so I email regularly with every company I'm involved with. And that, you know, that's our main way of engaging. But I think that, you know, it's maybe it's a mentor dinner every month still, or it's a, you know, catch up every week and or every other week, or it's, you know, joining the company as a formal advisor if it makes sense. And so all depending upon, you know, the company to mentor relationship. But on average, I would say there's, you know, significant communication on a weekly or biweekly basis between companies and mentors during the program, and then, you know, whatever is natural after the program.
And that's, I mean, and you're doing a new model, so to get it exactly right for what the mentors want is going to take some time to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as I think about what my job is, I have two main jobs. One is to make sure our companies are happy, and two is to make sure our mentors are happy. And so, you know, they're not necessarily the same thing, but trying to balance, you know, trying to focus on making sure that we're adding enough value back to the mentors to make them want to stay engaged. And, you know, I think the number one thing that gets a mentor engaged is quality entrepreneurs. And so picking the best companies we can pick is what gets the mentors more and more engaged.
Right, sure. How do conflicts work? I mean, you've got these mentors coming in, and I mean, you mentioned that there may be business opportunities for the mentors. They may end up acquiring the companies or something else, but at the same time, they're getting an insight into how a startup is viewing a new market. And so they could potentially, you know, their big company.com and there's little startup.com that's come up with this great idea. They're the big company. Now they're busy, but, you know, they also have lots of resources, and so that may help them highlight a new idea and snap up a new market before the startup has time to get traction.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we believe that the people in our system are there for the right reasons and are not looking to, you know, do that. We carefully vet the companies, we carefully vet the mentors, and, you know, are constantly making sure that both sides are working well. And so if there's a questionable action on behalf of a mentor, you know, we move them out of the system pretty quickly. Hasn't really been a problem. I think there's an understanding, A, that ideas are nothing and execution is everything. And so I think if you talk to, you know, the majority of startups, they'll tell you that a big company has no chance to beat them because of their nimbleness and their you know, ability to see the market differently. So I think less of a worry than it looks from the outside in terms of that. And at the end of the day, we don't mandate that the company meet with specific mentors. If we feel there is a conflict, we try to point it out up front and avoid, you know, any potential for there to be problems.
Mm-hmm. And how many companies at a time is a mentor typically mentoring?
Just one. The ask is not to dive wide or to work with multiple companies. It's to find one that you like, one that you have some passion, some interest in genuinely, or an entrepreneur that you really like, and work with them and them only. And so diving deep with one versus shallow with multiple is a model that we believe works better.
Hmm. So, like maybe if we could talk about just, I mean, you explained a little bit, maybe talk more deeply about the experience for a startup team that comes in. So they go through a big round of filtering. I guess they submitted an application. Hopefully they've got some sort of a prototype. What's their experience? Like, what happens through your process?
Yep. Yeah, so we, you know, they go through the application process, which involves a series of, whether it's interviews, conversations, emails, you know, some significant vetting towards the end, down to 12 companies. They come into the program, and as we look at it, it's really a 3 1-month programs. And so the first month is about mentor dating and finding people to surround your company with. The second month is about, you know, working with all those people, executing the business, executing the product, and really removing a lot of the programming out of the TechStars program. And so less meetings, less talks during the second month, really focused on execution. Month three is focused on post-TechStars strategy. And so a lot of the companies will be raising money, so there's a focus on that, preparing for demo day. There's also focus on branding, marketing, media, you know, BD, anything along those lines that we can help the companies with to make them succeed when they leave the program and to really, you know, hit the ground running as fast as they can. And so, you know, we really try to respect both the company's time and also try to surround them with only, you know, the most valuable information and talks and, you know, engagements that we can.
So in the you said the program's 3.5 months long, is that right?
Yep.
So in that 3.5 months, how many hours of contacts is a typical startup CEO you're going to have with TechStars?
So they actually work out of the office every day, as do I. So, you know, there are some days when we're spending, you know, 3-4 hours with one company trying to work on some, you know, challenging problem that they're encountering. You know, we have a weekly meeting with each of the companies. So I personally will sit there for an hour with each company and, you know, every week check in where they're at and help them with the problems, help them navigate the program, whatever it is that I can do to help them take, you know, more advantage of what we're surrounding them with. And so, you know, they have, and post-TechStars too, there's, you know, this doesn't end after 3.5 months. We have an incredibly strong alumni network, and, you know, we are investors in these companies, and so, you know, we're regularly involved with the companies after the program as well.
So it's work out of the, so basically they get office space for three and a half months. They work with you, can be quite intensively,
yep.
And then there's weekly meetings with each company, and then tied into the alumni network as well as then obviously the mentor stuff.
Yeah, and so, you know, they get 3.5 months of office space. We have about, I think, upwards of $200,000 to $300,000 worth of free services that the companies get. So anything from Amazon web hosting to I'm trying to pull it up. Our website's really slow. But there's I think we launched this page called Benefits, but there's a, you know, a ton of free stuff around the program, and it's because companies like Amazon believe that the startups that we're funding are incredibly high quality and want to, you know, work with those people for long points of time. And so whether it's free legal, free, here it is, perks. Free Amazon, free Heroku, free Google apps, free, you know, banking. You know, a lot of companies are willing to give our companies more because they understand that the value will come back to them later.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm looking through the list. There's some decent stuff in here.
Yeah, we don't lead with that. We just put this page up. It's brand new because we never really talked about it, and when the companies come and you tell them, look, you have, you know, $25,000 worth of rack space, so you don't have to pay hosting fees for the first year, that's a game changer. And that really, the small amount of money that we're giving them, the money that they're putting into their startup, it doesn't need to go to, you know, infrastructure costs. And it can really help take advantage of, you know, that first year a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that's obviously lead generation. I mean, but you guys have filtered this the right way. This is obviously good lead generation for these companies, and it's going to be time wasting because a lot of the companies are going to fail, but some of them are going to make it. And if they started out in Rackspace, they might have given them $24,000 in free hosting, but that could end up being millions of dollars in hosting in time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the model, I think, from everybody's perspective, is let's just get these brands around these companies at the earliest stage and, you know, and try to help them.
So how does your role fit into the company? I mean, you've mentioned David Cohen, Brad Feld's in there somewhere. Like, how does everyone fit together?
Yeah, so David, started TechStars about 5 years ago with Brad. David does it full time. This is his baby. And Brad has been incredibly helpful and supportive along the way as, a co-founder. And Brad has another full-time job where he invests in much larger and later stage companies than what we do. But, and David built the Boulder program up. I joined about a year and a half ago to start and run the New York program. So I'm from New York. I'm raised in New York. And when I met David, the question wasn't about TechStars, it was about why TechStars isn't in New York. And so for me, it was about taking this organization from outside and bringing it to New York, because New York was ready for what we have to offer. And so, I'm a managing director. I work basically side by side with David. We do a lot of the national thinking together, but my responsibility is the New York program.
And you obviously tell me what you can and what you can't. Do you guys take something like a 6% equity stake in these companies, and then how does that end up working? I mean, has TechStars raised money itself?
Yep.
Like,
so yeah, no, I can tell you everything. So, we in each community we're in. So in New York, we raise money from the New York-based investors. So last year we raised money from 25 different investors. They're listed on the site. I don't know where now that we changed everything. But it's 15 venture capital funds and 10 angel investors, all in New York. We had a wait list of, a ton more investors who wanted to get involved, and we just didn't have room / need the money. And so, supported by the local community, we invest around $20,000 in each of the startups in return for around 6% common stock equity. And so what that does is it really aligns us with the founders, and we become another founder in that, we don't have special rights, or we don't have follow-on rights, and over time we get diluted, and we're sitting next to the founder the entire way. And so we can really be almost an independent source of advice and really support the founder at any stage of the company's growth.
So if you end up with a Heroku that had a big buyout with Salesforce, then you're there, you still have a relationship with the founders, and you're making sure they're not getting screwed on a key deal 2 years later on. You're perfectly fine.
Or if they're raising their next round of funding and helping them meet other investors and, introducing them to people in different cities if they need to go to other cities to raise money. And, if they have key hires and, there are people flowing through our ecosystem that makes sense for that company, we're constantly working with the companies post the program as well.
It's got to be like total insanity. I mean, do you tend to receive about 10,000 emails a day?
It's not pretty. I have a rule that I've got to break, which I'm struggling to scale, which is that I respond to every email I get, and I try to do so in a timely fashion. As you continue to grow this program on all different angles, it becomes unscalable at some point, probably.
Yeah, well, so how are your wrists doing? Are you getting RSI yet?
My girlfriend is not happy with my sleeping habits. I tend to email between the hours of the trick to reach me is I'm regularly emailing between about 11 p.m. and about 4 a.m. every night, and so if you ping me at that point, I'm pretty responsive.
Yeah, it's going to keep you busy. And I mean, obviously, this is a model that continues to scale in a pleasant but unpleasant way. So I can see with it.
We had 1,200 applicants in New York. I probably spoke to around via email probably 800 of them. I probably met with 300 to 400 of them, and trying to do that in a 3-month process is pretty tricky. But you're investing in people, and so as we look at each of these applicants, it's not the idea, it's the people. And so without being able to put a face on a name or hear someone articulate the way they think about a market, you're really not going to have a chance to assess the founders, versus the idea that they present on the paper or the demo or the video that we get to watch.
So So where do things end up, say, in 5 years' time? You have a couple of big home runs. Is this where you've been, like, retired and you've gone and moved to a warm beach someplace? Are you like, still, you know, dealing with 20,000 guys then instead of the couple hundred you're dealing with now? Like, how does that look?
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's a get-rich mechanism that TechSurge is focused on. You know, I think there's a ton of secondary benefits around the system. So the majority of the entrepreneurs will go on to start multiple companies. If we can be there, you know, whether it's investors or, you know, supporters of their careers as they go on to build multiple companies, that's awesome. If we build this network up, you know, over time, it's just going to grow and add more value to each other. And so, you know, I think 5 years from now, you'll see a series of TechStars programs that are, you know, thriving and producing, you know, quality entrepreneurs that are either on their first, second, or third company, going into ecosystems at a, you know, a better level than, you know, I think is without one of these programs.
What about for experienced entrepreneurs? What would they want to go through TechStars, or is that not a fit for them?
So you know, this program is not just for a couple kids with an idea. We, in the past 2 years in New York, we've had a company each year come into the program already having raised $1 million. So they raised that money before the program, still came in taking, you know, the same deal as everybody else because they see the potential for growth through this program being exponentially better than on their own. And so they'll come in for the mentorship. They'll come in for that network. And I think you see experienced entrepreneurs do the same. We've had in Boulder, you know, a four-time entrepreneur with three exits. We've had, you know, people who recently exited their first company come back, you know, to do TechStars for their second company because they've seen how quickly the advantages happen for a TechStars company. And so I think it's really the, you know, forward-thinking serial entrepreneurs who see this program as a way to, you know, launch better, quicker, and more aggressively than without it.
When you say you see that quicker, that it's an experienced entrepreneur that sees that, what do you mean by quicker? Like, what is happening in the marketplace that is that real?
You know,
you mentioned the Zillow example. Is it that stuff? Like,
no, it's I think it's more that, you know, over the first 3 months of the during the 3 months of the program, the amount of feedback that you're getting on your startup on a regular basis from an entire community, the amount of iterations that you're focused on making because you're getting that feedback so constantly, you're able to iterate through product and business, you know, in a much quicker, much more validated fashion than I think without it. And that's really the crux of it. It's just the amount of people who are paying attention and trying to help you work through the early challenges that a startup faces. So even a multi-time entrepreneur, you know, starting that company every time has significant challenges and product market fit and, you know, needs to make sure they're going down the right path with the right offering. And so this program gives them a feedback mechanism and a feedback loop that's unprecedented.
The thing that I think about is in businesses that I've worked with, that 3.5 months is, that can go through in an instant, and it can take really a year or two to get things nailed down and working. Now, obviously, you want to get some traction and market fit fairly quickly, and you do want to see growth, and that's something that's been very, very clear to me. I've particularly learned that through these interviews, that some of the most successful guys are very aggressive at looking for fast momentum, and they spend a lot of time focusing on how to get that. So I can certainly see that you can help get that momentum, but 3.5 months and 6% can go past pretty quick, and then you're like out on your own again, or is that not the case?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends upon what you're building and where you are at the beginning of the program. So companies that come in with a live product, with revenue, with customers, you know, they have that initial fit, and I think what they're doing is trying to, you know, put fuel on that and go faster. And so in 3.5 months, you can grow. We have a company in our program right now that came in with some real revenue, and they now have 7 times as much revenue month to month than they did coming to the program. And so access to more customers, more credibility was really important to them, and it's helped their business in, you know, 2.5 months in a way that they could not have done in a year or two on their own. you know, other companies, we had a company, three companies in our last program, which ended in April, that still haven't launched publicly yet. They launched an alpha, they launched a beta, but they don't have an open site. And so they do need to keep building, and they do need to work on, you know, scaling. And so the expectation isn't that you are at scale, you know, a huge business at the end of the program. It's that you are on your way to towards building something big, and, you know, that you have a better understanding that what you're building is what customers and the market wants.
What does the outlook look like for an alumni? So let's say I've gone through the program, I've done my 3.5 months, it's 10 months later now, you know, my startup's starting to do well, you guys have got the equity, you know, I'm still using the free services, I'm still in touch with my mentor. What other things am I getting, like a, is there a weekly get together with alumni? Am I, you know, is there a happy hour somewhere? Are we going on a weekend getaways?
Yeah, so we have an incredibly active Facebook group for all of our alumni. You know, there are probably upwards of 10 plus posts on there a day with people just sharing best practices. Hey, we need an accountant in New York. Or, hey, what software do people use for customer service? What are the pros and cons? Hey, we're launching today. Would love you guys to make some noise about it. So there's this thriving online alumni community of all the companies. Additionally, every year we run a reunion, and to me, you know, the powerful moment for me in this organization was the first event that I ever went to when after I joined TechStars was the alumni reunion in New York last year. There were only three companies. This is before we had a New York, like this is before we our first New York program, and so there were only three companies out of the 70 companies that went through TechStars that were actually based in New York. We had 63 companies show up at that reunion out of the 70 that went through the program. So you had 63 companies get on a plane or in a car and get to New York, stay overnight in New York, which isn't cheap, just to come for one day to hang out with each other. And so that to me was the real indication of the strength of this community, is that everybody looks back on a very short amount of time, as you said, 3.5 months, and yet cherishes enough to really be incredibly active in this community. And I thought that was, you know, incredible.
Hmm. And most of the communication's through a Facebook group. It's not like you don't have email distribution lists or private forums or stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we have an email distribution list. We just found that Facebook groups were, you know, a perfect solution for what we're doing. Everybody's on Facebook, and it really, you know, everybody ties their Twitter into Facebook, and so you really get a better look into reality than trying to do it on a, you know, a siloed platform. But yeah, we have, you know, every individual group has an email list. The whole thing has an email list. There's a lot of electronic. We're all nerds, so we communicate via the computer.
Yes, I know the feeling. This is, yeah, interesting. How does the vetting process? Can you mentioned a little bit about how that works, but what are you looking for in, you know, some guy off the street who thinks he has a good idea, or maybe he doesn't have a good idea. Maybe he just says like, "Damn, TechStars is great, and I just want to start a company and be backed by TechStars." How do you filter all of those guys, and what are you looking for?
So, you know, we look at team first, team second, team third, then market, and then the idea. And so it's counterintuitive to a lot of entrepreneurs, but the idea is the last thing we really look at. And is this a great team working in a really interesting market? That's the crux of what we're looking for. And so how do you show you're a great team? You've either done something in the past to indicate that you can execute on what you say you are going to do in the future. So if you've been at Google as a senior engineer on a project that, you know, is incredibly successful and you are leaving to go build something that's tangentially related, we have confidence that you can build it. If you've built two companies before, if you've built some products in college to show off what you can do and they got a little traction, those are indications that you're able to execute on what you want to execute on in this program. If you've never built anything before, you know, it's what have you built for this current product? And if you are just an idea and have never executed anything before, it's incredibly, you know, tough, next to impossible to get into the program. And so we're really looking for indications that these teams can execute at a incredibly high quality on the idea that they are, you know, applying to TechStars with. on average, about 30 to 50% of the companies in Techstars will pivot mid-program and change what they're working on. And so if we picked ideas, and not the right teams, we would be in a bad place. And so it really is a focus on the team first.
That's like the real estate version of location, location, location.
It is. And, investors, at all stages say that they focus on team. But at the earliest stage, you have to focus on team, because that first, from 0 to 100, from, getting that first customer, building that V1 of the product is that's the hardest step. And so, making sure that you have people who can get a company off the ground is first and foremost. And entrepreneurs that you believe in. And so, the majority of entrepreneurs that come into the program, I'm confident are going to build a big company one day. And whether it's the company that they are working on right now, or it's the next one or the next one, their career is something that I am incredibly excited to watch.
How does that work? Let's say an entrepreneur goes through the program and then folds that company down and, maybe does something else for a while and then starts his next company. I mean, you don't have equity anymore. Is he going to go through the program again? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, we definitely don't have equity. I think the thought is not that he would go through the program again, but that he would circle back to all those relationships that he made and maintained during the Techstars period. So I do investing on the side, and David Cohen does investing on the side, and Brad's a professional investor. And so the expectation or the hope or the thought is that if you like us and you want to work with us, you're going to come back to us as you do more and more throughout your career. And we've seen that happen, regularly.
So, and for you, does this become your launch into becoming a professional VC like Brad or Fred Wilson or someone like that?
I don't know what I want to do when I grow up, but I'm in, as an angel investor, I'm in about 50 deals at this point. So I've definitely taken the amateur investing and scaled it a little bit. As an independent angel, I'm in about 50 deals, the majority of them based in New York and, some based in California and internationally. Hold on one second, my dog's about to bark. I'm letting them out. Come here, John.
I'm sure he'll be right back. This is a New York small apartment.
All right. Okay, sorry about that.
That's all right. Can you tell us a little bit about how things work with VCs? I know, like Fred Wilson said, that he prefers to be incubator agnostic. We've got Brad, who is, I guess, fairly aligned with Techstars. But I imagine he would invest in other stuff. Like, how does that work? Do they view you guys as lead generation? Like, how does all that tie together?
Yeah, we're backed by 15 VCs. So in New York, it's people like First Round Capital, Bessemer, Graycroft, Lair Ventures. So some of the top VCs in New York are actual investors in Techstars. And so they go on to fund Techstars companies. Techstars companies, as we look at it, we're in the business of getting our companies funded by other people. We don't give them enough money to go off and build a huge company. And so the majority of our companies go off to raise money. And so, on demo day, you have 500 investors from every fund in the country showing up to see these companies because they're, really interesting investments. And that's why you see 85% of them go on to raise external money from professional VCs. And so I think the VC community views this as, quality deal flow, but more than that, it's entrepreneurs who have gone through a 3.5-month process of really helping them mature, helping them, think about their business, helping them iterate their business. And so the quality of the people at the end of the program, I think, is substantially different than at the beginning in terms of their progress.
And so I guess at demo day, all of the investors there, they have to compete on deals, so that generates some heat and works out well for you guys too.
Yeah, I think for an entrepreneur, the opportunity to get up in front of 500 investors and show off what you've been working on is pretty cool.
Why do investors want to? That starts to become an environment where, one of 500, that's a hell of a lot of investors. There's not like there's a big knowledge gap there. They're almost being, you know, in the, 10 years ago, investors were king and they sat on their resources and their contacts, and this has flipped them around to being a commodity.
It's a good time to be an entrepreneur, right?
He says with a smile.
There's definitely a grin on my face.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's it. And you know, in a good market, you're going to have investors, you know, fighting to get into deals and fighting to find entrepreneurs. But, you know, we tell our entrepreneurs, you know, very, very, very often that it's not about raising money. It's about working with great people on the investor side, too. And so finding investors that you believe in you, and that you really get along with, and see yourself having the ability to work with for 5 to 10 years is vital. And, you know, ideally, TechSearch provides the framework to get to know investors and really build those relationships over time, so that you are, by the time you're signing a term sheet, you're confident that you're signing it with the right people.
And, I mean, it's a great time to be an entrepreneur, but, I mean, you're more or less sitting on the investor side. Have you thought about becoming an entrepreneur? And you know, like, I mean, I guess you're kind of doing that since you're at TechStars. You're kind of maybe a foot in both camps, but, I mean, this is a great time. And that's the route I think I'll be taking as my next move, is starting a company. Have you, I mean...
You know, I think all the time there's, you know, interesting stuff that crosses your mind. As someone who thinks about this space, you're going to come up with ideas. But I think for me, the ability to work with multiple amounts of companies at the same time, right now working with 12 companies and trying to help 12 entrepreneurs live their dream and 12 people see something that they thought about come to life and, you know, succeed, is incredibly you know, gratifying. And so, you know, as tempting as it is to go off and do one thing that's just my baby, I really do love the ability to work with multiple companies at once and, you know, help them as best as I can. So
you're getting a hell of a lot of extra insight into that too. I mean, what you're learning for those 12 companies is going to help you a lot in the future too.
I think, you know, whether it's to continue to invest primarily, or, you know, continue to do something like TechStars and, you know, continue at TechStars building this, and, you know, the pattern recognition and the insight that you're able to gain as you watch these companies go through this program is unprecedented.
What do you, and so just in closing, what do you think of the current economy? Do you, I mean, there's the drama going around of, is there a bubble or not? Where do you see things going?
Start with this, which I think, you know, answers your question somewhat. Starting tonight on Bloomberg Television, which I think you guys get in Australia, maybe not. There's a 6-episode television show that outlines the first TechStars New York program. We had cameras in the office for 6 months filming us, you know, as we picked the companies, as they moved in, and as they, you know, finished on demo day. And so, you know, Bloomberg gives a true insight into TechStars, but, you know, you can draw your frothy conclusion as you wish from there. But, you know, I'm excited for, you know, this time. I think there's, you know, incredible innovation going on. I think there's massive disruption in a lot of old industries, and there's real revenue in a lot of these companies. Whether there are, you know, in my mind, too many companies potentially, but I sit here and put 20 or 50 into an ecosystem every year, and, you know, I'm probably part of that challenge. But I think that, you know, funding innovation and allowing innovation to thrive is fantastic. And, you know, is every one of these companies going to succeed? No. But are the great ones going to be great companies? 100%. And I think that that's, you know, that's how I would look at the broader picture of things.
Great. Anything you want to share with us before we wrap up?
I don't know. Anything else you had on mind? I'm trying to think. No.
I think with a range of stuff I've asked you, I think I don't think I left many things unasked. But
The only thing is our applications are open for our New York program and our Boston program right now. It's techstars.com/apply. You know, and we the new website that we just launched, I think, is a better insight into the program than ever before, and so there's a lot of stuff to go explore. That's about it.
Cool.
Cool. Thanks so much. I really enjoyed this. You have great questions. It's nice to talk to somebody who has, like, a lot of thought behind them instead of the quick right New York media. So I really appreciate it.
Thanks for taking the time to answer them.
Awesome. Have a great day.